Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 16th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, passage of WERDA, the WRDA, may fall prey to an ethics bill. Brazil is expected to up its sugarcane-based ethanol production by 50% over the next 2 years, and the nation's largest biodiesel plant is operational. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report. In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat at $6.73, down 5.5. December futures were 9.5 lower at $6.87.5. From the corn pit, nearby September's at $3.21.5, down 6.5 for the day. December futures at $3.39, 6.25 lower. And the March contract at $3.54.25, down 6.25. December futures, $3.87. They were down 7.75 on the day. Soy complex now, beans at $7.99.25, finished 39 lower. And the Novembers at $8.14.5 were down 40 cents. They were a limit lower at one point during the day. January futures at $8.30.25, down 40.25. And November beans for next year at $8.44, down 35.5. Bean meal futures down $9 at $2.18.80. Bean oil in the nearby SEPs at $34.50, down $1.34. August live cattle at $90.40, down $1.72.5 at the Mercantile Exchange. The October futures there $2.22.5 lower at $93.70. And the August feeder cattle 62.5 lower at $115.55. September futures at $115.32.5 were a dollar and a nickel lower for the day. October lean hogs were down $1.60 at $66.97.5 a hundredweight. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the September contract at this hour, $70.88, down $2.45. October at $70.74, a barrel down $2.47. The CRB index at 301.32, down 10.56. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 12,717, and it's off just about 144 points at the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange and in the outside markets is Dan Zwicker of the ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. What a day it's been, Dan.
Yeah, it sure has been. It's you can just pretty well look across the board and see everything pretty much in the negative category, from stocks to energies to agriculture.
Let's start out with the outside markets and work our way in. Maybe start with the Dow and talk about the move that it's made. I don't know whether you want to talk about the subprime, but maybe just about the charts in the Dow and then into the CRB because
yeah,
of heavy
well,
losses.
You know, it's all being tipped by the subprime mortgage crisis and, of course, news that countrywide mortgage company is on the ropes, about ready to go bankrupt and whatnot, just continue to feed on the whole subprime concern the market's been talking about for, you know, several weeks in here. So that just kind of fed into it. A lot of times maybe, you know, the market kind of smelt something was going to happen, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I think that's what the technical market was kind of telling you, that there's something out there that's going to happen. So now maybe since we got the news out, maybe the market might begin to find some stability here in a day or two. But, I mean, that's the whole key with technical analysis is try to get ahead of the news. And I think the weakness in the Dow, the technical action in the Dow, the technical action actually in CRB, the chart action in the dollar was all telling you that something was changing or there was going to be kind of some kind of news event out here somewhere along the line, and I guess this must be it. I'm sure the newscast will all lead with this tonight and the tumble that we've seen in the Dow. Now, technically, If you look at like a monthly chart, you look at some long-term uptrend lines, the most recent uptrend here basically started in 2002. You can kind of connect that with the 2006 correction, you know, downward correctional moves and that. And we're, you know, there's no damage done technically to the long-term trend. But I think on the short term, you can kind of see that July ended up with a monthly reversal down, and now we're getting follow-through action to the downside on that monthly down. So that is telling us that we probably have seen a meaningful high maybe in the Dow for a while, and the market now is going to have to spend some time consolidating, may even see some more weakness yet. But I don't see anything drastic, so to speak, that would make one kind of panic. But, you know, we were flirting with 14,000, and now we're down here at about 12.8, 12.9. I think looking at the trend line says that we could maybe lose another upwards of 800 points. That at least that would be where the trend line would come into play, somewhere around 12,000.
Yeah, I thought I saw that at 12,000 too. So at this point, we'll call it no reason to panic, but reason to be concerned.
Well, anytime the markets do what they do like today, where you see a whole bunch of minus signs clear across the board, what, you know, I don't know if it's any major fundamental change, but what it does, it hinders the psychological feeling of the market or the direction of the market, because what you're going to see with this kind of declines is a lot of your hedge funds, a lot of speculators, a lot of the speculative money, people get beat up, they lose money, and it takes a lot of the enthusiasm away from the market that we've had. So that's probably more psychological impact to the marketplace than anything else, is that it'll lose its enthusiasm to move higher, and then we just got to, you know, spend some time consolidating and working our way out of the decline here with a period of consolidation.
And maybe you'd better, speaking of spending some time, maybe we'd better spend a little time with the CRB index, which tracks commodities.
Well, right, the CRB index, of course, that's the one I watch probably more so than anything. And I see, you know, when it was down, it's down roughly about 10 points here, or 14 points, and that's a big hit to the downside. Just looking at price action here on a weekly chart, I got back here to 2005. You can see that today is probably the biggest downside decline that we've had in a long time, or this week anyway. So, and that's breaking some trend lines measured off of the July 05 low. So that is a little concerning, you know, when you look at the CRB index. But it explains why when you go over and look at commodities. I mean, you saw soybeans down 40 cents here today. You got corn down 6-7. You've got wheat down 9. You got crude oil down 2.5 or so. So you just got a whole a slug of minus signs here, so that, you know, spills over into CRB index. Like I said, I think more of the damage is going to be psychological than anything, and it will probably generate some more long liquidation activity for another day or two. But I would suspect that the market will try to settle down here by early next week.
You know, when you take a look at the lead option soybean chart, can you make a head and shoulders out of the top of that?
Well, I've got November in front of me that I'm looking at, and yes, there is a head and shoulders top formation in that. You basically look at the June high as a left shoulder. You look at the mid-July high that we had here up here around 949, I think, as a head. It was done on, I think, Friday, July 13th.
Yep.
And then we had the decline here until July 23rd, and then we kind of spent the last 3-4 weeks here building a right shoulder. And then today's move, we did go down underneath a so-called neckline formation. So your chart people will look at that and talk about, you know, that kind of tees up a move maybe down underneath the $8 level. But we've got some trend line support, or at least some speed line support down here around the $7.95, $8 level. And we actually almost got down to the 7. I think our low today was 804. So we're down at a point where the market, I think, should begin to find some stability here at this $8 level.
How about in the corn market? What do you see there?
Well, corn market actually had a decent close. We did go down underneath the trend line that was drawn off of this July 23rd low and also the August 6th low. We penetrated that today by several cents, but we came back and closed right on that line or slightly above that. So as long as we could maybe come back and hold steady tomorrow, maybe close a penny or two higher, I think corn has kind of maybe escaped some serious technical damage, at least for the short term.
Would you be satisfied to say that harvest lows will come sooner rather than later off of this kind of move?
I don't know if I'd want to say that. I think the harvest low is still going to be determined by the actual size of the crop. And I know that there's a lot of speculation out there as far as what the size of that crop is. And that's just speculation at this point. And I think the market needs to have a little better idea of the exact size of that crop, how quickly or how slowly it's going to come out of the field, and in what kind of condition before we could really talk about a harvest low, I think. But this type of action, you know, like I said, that when we have these outside market events such as this, a lot of times it will put market lows, you know, will put market lows in place. And then of course, a low is one thing and a rally is another thing, and we'll have to just kind of see how that plays out.
So across the board, the deal is stay calm and stay put?
Well, I think so, at least for a day or two here, see how this thing shakes out. But a lot of the weakness today in grains was stimulated by the outside market activity.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that's about all.
All right, we appreciate it.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. We took a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the CRB Index and what's been happening in the chart markets. A pretty rough day at the Chicago Board of Trade in the bean pit in particular, where it was limit lower at one point, finished down 40 cents in the nearby November contract. One quick note, I was out all morning on the South Farms dispatching wagons into the fields, and I appreciate all those folks who came out on kind of a gray and cloudy day. It was not too bad out there. Didn't get sunburn, I don't think, terribly bad. And it was a really good morning. Thanks for making your way out to the 51st Agronomy Day. Let's take a look now at what the weather looks like for the two-state region. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for central Illinois. The counties include Christian, Clark, Cumberland, Moultrie, Sangamon, and Shelby counties. This afternoon, it'll be hot and humid. It already is. There'll be a chance of a few thunderstorms in the northern and central sections. I talked to somebody from Pontiac this morning. They've had 10 inches of rain in the last 3 to 4 weeks up there. Highs ranging from 80 in northeastern Indiana to 100 in the southwestern part of Illinois. And in the south, of course, they haven't had much rain. We'd like to ship some that way. I don't think it's going to happen very soon. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a chance of a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from around 60 in the northeastern part of Indiana to about 75 in the west central part of Illinois. And in the south, tomorrow it'll be hot and humid in the southern sections, partly sunny elsewhere. Dave's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, passage of the Water Resources Development Act could be significantly delayed if President Bush signs an ethics bill now on his desk. The ethics bill would prohibit conference committees from adding spending earmarks to bills. The WERDA Conference Committee bill contains a significant number of earmarks never approved by either the House or Senate when the bill was first considered. They were inserted at the last minute by the Conference Committee. The Senate-House WERDA bill has already been approved by the House. The Senate was expected to take up the agreement after the August recess. Industry sources in Brazil say that nation will likely increase sugarcane-based ethanol by 50% over the next 2 years to around 7 billion gallons a year. Analysts say the big question is where will the growth take place? The expansion will need about 5 million acres to supply 90 new mill projects under consideration. Much is expected to stay in Sao Paulo State, the heart of the Brazilian sugarcane growing area, but some soybean and corn acreage losses are anticipated in Goiás and Paraná. The nation's largest biodiesel plant has come online. The Imperium Renewables plant near Grays Harbor, Washington, has an annual capacity of 100 million gallons. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin is circulating his draft of the 2007 Farm Bill to committee members. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says release of the chairman's mark is good news.
I want to say that we have a good chance of getting reauthorization done this year and having a farm bill for 5 or 6 years instead of having an extension for 1 or 2 years. I will have it studied before Labor Day, because I'm sure that it's his intention to take it up, yet the first week we're back. So I consider it all good news, even though I don't know what's in it. But I've talked to Senator Harkin enough that I know that there's not going to be a wide difference between what he wants to accomplish in the way of commodity titles and what I want to accomplish.
Grassley says when he reads the mark, he expects there will be huge differences from the House-approved version.
I do sense a great deal of difference between what Colin Peterson did in gutting the Conservation Security Program. I'm very sure that Senator Harkin is going to preserve the Conservation Security Program, and if it doesn't jeopardize money for commodities, I'm obviously going to be supporting that effort.
Grassley says he will push for deeper subsidy payment caps than the $1 million benchmark approved in the House Farm Bill version. The U.S. Commerce Department reports that the trade deficit dropped to $58.1 billion in June. That's a 1.7% decline from May and represents a four-month low. Overall this year, the deficit is running at an annual rate that is 7% lower than last year's record deficit. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you of two things. First, as always, please visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And there, we'd like you to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free. It's a great newsletter. Just sign up. Hit subscribe at willag.org. If I'm wrong, come back and hit unsubscribe. It's that easy at willag.org. The other thing is to thank all of those who came out to this morning's 51st Agronomy Day right here on the South Farms of the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The rain held off. The skies were gray. It was pretty comfortable all morning long. We appreciate all those who made that visit to Champaign today for the 51st Annual Agronomy Day. Up next, in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says the House version of the 2007 Farm Bill has a little something for everyone.
There's a saying that you can't make everyone happy, but the House of Representatives have come very close. It has passed a new farm bill that includes something for nearly everyone, including a healthy dose of reform, and has been applauded by a broad spectrum of agricultural groups. Whether you're a farmer of cucumbers or corn, strawberries or soybeans, this farm bill has something to offer. The bill continues direct farm payments that help producers of row crops deal with rising production costs. It continues the countercyclical payments that help those same farmers even more when crop prices fall drastically low. It adds funding for programs that help fruit and vegetable producers improve their competitiveness and productivity, expanding the Farm Bill's benefits to virtually every type of farmer there is. That's why a coalition of more than 120 specialty crop organizations supports the bill. Whether you're interested in conserving natural resources or using more of our renewable resources to produce energy, this Farm Bill has it all. Then there's the growing interest in producing renewable energy from crops, grasses, and agricultural waste. The bill increases funding for renewable energy research and development, construction, and biorefineries, incentives to increase bioenergy production, and incentives to use bio-based products. Let's not forget that the largest slice of the farm bill is 66% of funding that goes toward food stamps and other nutrition assistance programs for Americans who need help to feed their families. The word reform has been thrown around a lot during this year's Farm Bill debate. The American Farm Bureau doesn't support limiting farm payments or farmers' incomes, but if lowering payment and income limits is your idea of reform, the House passed Farm Bill has that too. Farmers who earn more than $1 million per year would not be eligible for farm payments, and those who are eligible could only receive up to $250,000 per year. Last but not least are the benefits to all Americans, rural, urban, and suburban. Without the 12% of the Farm Bill that provides farm support payments, much more of our food would come from other countries that do not meet the quality and safety standards we expect in the United States. Other programs in the bill, from food safety inspection to plant and animal health research to rural development, benefit Americans who may never set foot on a farm. Soon it will be the Senate's turn to pass a Farm Bill. If senators think you can't make everyone happy, then they should look at the example set by the House Farm Bill and strike a balance that meets the diverse needs of American agriculture and American consumers. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis' comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850. It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL AM 580 Urbana. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington is on the line now to take a look at the cash grain market with us. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the cash grain market, please.
Well, really, things have been pretty steady here for the last week or so on the corn. Pretty well steady across the board. The river's a little weaker. The barge freight probably is a big news on the river. You've got it up there at levels 500 plus now. Some of that in anticipation of this Hurricane Dean coming in, but the latest route that I saw on that looks like it's going to be not right up into the Louisiana area, but more going across the Gulf. Beans have gotten a little bit better over the week. We're kind of seeing the processor on the beans come in, you know, bid up, get what they need bought to get them down the road a couple weeks and then kind of get back out of the market. So it's just that kind of pop in, get some stuff bought and get out type market right now.
How badly were producers scared by the 40-cent drop in the beans today?
Well, I think it certainly got everybody's attention, answered a lot of calls today as far as, you know, what's going on. A lot of guys up in this area, of course, looking at the fact that we haven't gotten any rain right through here and wondering if, you know, what's going on, why the market's down so much. You know, I wouldn't put a lot, and I think Dan alluded to this, what happened today didn't have a lot to do with the fundamentals out here on weather and that type of thing.
Indeed they did. And your bids for the day?
291 on corn, 734 on beans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
That's Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. A regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A federal jury has found former Chicago gang member Jose Padilla guilty on all counts in a terrorism support trial in Miami. Padilla, a U.S. citizen, was held for 3.5 years as an enemy combatant in a case that came to symbolize the Bush administration's zeal to stop homegrown terror. Two co-defendants were also convicted. They all face life in prison. Rantoul is preparing to turn a page in the history of the old Chinook Air Force Base. The old base closed in 1988. Now the village is taking over about 600 acres of the old facility. Since Chanute was closed, some of the facility has been converted to other uses, while other parts remain empty. A ceremonial transfer of the property from the Air Force to the village of Rantoul was set for this afternoon. The Chicago Tribune reports that the U.S. Attorney's Office is now helping investigate an alleged robbery ring inside an elite Chicago police unit. The Tribune, quoting anonymous sources, reports that federal prosecutors want to know why police officials didn't stop the alleged crimes against civilians despite numerous complaints. Five more Indiana counties could face property tax reassessments because of suspicions that commercial and industrial properties were undervalued, which can drive up bills on homeowners. The five counties are Warren, Sullivan, Montgomery, and Pike counties in western Indiana, and Jay County in the eastern part of the state. Public hearings will be held in each of the counties. The state will then decide whether to order a partial or full property reassessment. To date, 31 Indiana counties have been cleared and won't have to revalue property. Shares of Kraft Foods are down more than 2% in morning trading after a published report said the Northfield-based company is mulling a sale of its Post cereal division. The Wall Street Journal, citing unidentified sources, says Kraft has begun the process of searching for potential bidders for its cereal brands. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. We're joined on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural weather with Pete Levitt. He's a meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's hot here, but I hear that you are headed to some cooler climes. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to escape for the next week and the following, late next week. I'm going to get up to Alaska and do some sightseeing from Anchorage down toward Vancouver and finally relax. Unless there's wireless on board the ship, I'll be out of touch.
You know what? You should be out of touch. You deserve being out there. I hope you enjoy the trip. You take some of the funnest trips. I think you've been to Egypt. I think that was last year, wasn't it?
Right. That was for a total eclipse. Right.
Yeah, for a total eclipse. Anything weather-wise happening up there that'll be fun to watch for you?
I'm looking for seasonal weather, which means temperatures getting up in the low to mid-60s, upper 70s inland, but I'll be mostly on the coast or offshore. So pleasantly cool is what I'm looking for.
Well, you can blame yourself if it's not that way, I guess.
Right.
Speaking of blaming yourself, tell me about the hot weather we've had here and then where the dividing line between the haves and have-nots and rainfall might be across the Midwest.
Yeah, the dividing line is really working its way southward. The area that's been so dry up in Minnesota, especially southwest Minnesota, has picked up some showers, and we expect to see a lot more showers there this coming week. So I think we're gradually moving the moisture southward with each succeeding frontal pattern. Right now we have some pretty good showers going on in the southeastern quarter of Illinois, and thunderstorms. That's associated with a cold front, which is moving out of the way. High pressure will be down to bring beautiful weather in tomorrow and into Saturday. And then by Saturday night, we have another batch of showers coming out of northeast Iowa into northern and then central Illinois. That will probably allow us up the latter half of the weekend and linger into Monday. And after that, we look for dry and warmer weather again. But we'll get one good cool day tomorrow on Saturday, I guess, tomorrow night and Saturday, which should be really pleasant. For moisture, of course, the hot weather has been in the southeast, mostly south of the Ohio River and down through the Gulf states. And they're still going to suffer from mostly dry weather this coming week and very little moderation in temperatures. These cold fronts aren't going to get much farther south than, say, Kentucky, West Virginia area before they start to come northward again. We're looking for some pretty good showers Sunday, Monday back into Illinois, which will help out a bit, and maybe even with a little tropical moisture injected into that from the decaying tropical storm Aaron, which moved into Texas and is producing rain there.
Okay, and then anything else on the weather front around the globe we ought to be looking out for?
Well, I think the talk this week will be something fortunately we might miss, which will be Hurricane Dean. The first hurricane of the season was named today, and it's heading for the Lesser Antilles, and it's really batting along at about 23, 24 miles per hour, which is fast for a hurricane. Highest winds now about 90 miles an hour, surface pressure 974 millibars. They finally got a reconnaissance plane in there today. It looks like that system is going to come straight westward across the Caribbean and ultimately into the Yucatan. A few models, or one or two, the outliers, want to curve it north, westward into the Gulf of Mexico. I think this one's staying south of us, right into Old Mexico, and come offshore the Yucatan and then hit the northern Mexican coast. But it's one to watch, and that'll be in the news most of the coming week.
No, Pete, you stay safe and cool and out of touch while you're up there, okay?
Okay. Oh. Thank you very much. I'll let you know how it was when I get back.
All right. We'll be looking forward to that.
Right.
Pete Leavitt, meteorologist, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Thursday afternoon. I hope he and I bet his wife is going with him on that trip up into Alaska. Have a great time, Pete, traveling and working at above the age of 70. So we're really happy to have Pete on the air with us and that he takes a break from time to time. On the other end of the deal, I want to say thanks to everybody who came out to the South Farms for agronomy today. And one other note, it's really good to have the kids back on campus. This is move-in day, and there is a lot of action here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. If your student has arrived, we welcome them, especially if they're in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. It's said to be, and it is absolutely true, the nicest place to be on campus. Thanks much, and you have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.